You are listening to episode 189 of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and I'm really excited to bring you this fun episode this week. I'm actually bringing Lori Crawford back to the podcast. She was a guest last week, and this time we're swapping things up. So I'm actually sharing an interview that I did over on her Improvising Life podcast about a month ago. And she graciously agreed for us to do a podcast swap. So you might hear me over on her podcast as well. But I'm really excited because Lori is a fantastic interviewer. She asked me some questions that no one has ever asked me before. And I truly enjoyed this very human, heart-centered conversation that we had. So let's go ahead and get into it. We're talking all about what it means to be mindfully productive, but also to step into your humanness to make life more livable. And I think you're really going to enjoy this heartfelt talk. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Welcome to the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and this is the place to be to live a more mindful and productive life. If you're ready to turn daily chaos into calm and start your days with intention, then get ready to join me as we dive deep into mindful living and personal productivity. It's time to connect with your true self so you can live the life you want to live. And it all starts now. Hello, everyone. This week we are welcoming Sarah Steckler. I will first give my introduction and then invite her to give her own. So I would say Sarah is a squishmallow extraordinaire. She has one of the most cozy yet brilliant and fun office and home spaces that I've seen. And I really enjoy the tours she gives. And also, I will say, when I get my adulting shit together, I do want to make a little tea or coffee corner or nook like she made. It looks like such a fun, festive way to accessorize and bedazzle your house. Beyond that, Sarah has many things, and I will let Sarah share those things.
Oh my gosh, this is like the best intro of all time. And great example if anyone's watching a video, showing up as we are today in my messy, messy office. There are tons of squishmallows. For anyone, like, it's like an Easter egg hunt. You can just like see how many you can find. But my name is Sarah Steckler, and I love all those things, as Lori described. I love drinking tea too. But I describe myself in the work realm as a productivity strategist, and I help entrepreneurs get organized with Notion and Google Workspace, and also turn their ideas into planners. So, which Lori, you've created one, and yes, you're working on another one. So
she's talking about me. She helps people like me get our shit together.
So it's a lot of fun. I wear many hats. And I love what I do, and I love talking to other creatives. So I'm glad to be here.
Yay. Well, thank you for being here. So I think the energy behind like what I shared out as my introduction to you was really my like 5-year-old excitement of seeing your just creativity and how you share that out loud. And so I'm really curious about whether those types of things, so enjoying your squishmallows, having curated spaces in your home, whether that comes from a place of like intentionally like making life more livable for yourself, or is it just something that it started happening and you're like, oh, I'm gonna keep going, or like just like sort of what that process is of setting up your space so it feels like you want to be in it.
Yeah. Well, I think this is such a good question. And let me move my mic a little bit closer to me. I think I've never really thought about that. And I think for me, it's, I move all the time, right? So I've been moving all the time since I was a kid, and then I married a sailor, and so we move even more. But my parents got divorced when I was 10. So I was constantly going back and forth between my dad's house and my mom's house. And I would always have like a pretty big bag of stuff that I would take with me. And like, when I was little, I would like bring like stuffed animals. And then when I get to my dad's house, they'd go blah, 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 like, you know, on the bed and everywhere. And so I think that was kind of, you know, a self-nurturing response from a young age to kind of make my space feel similar, because it was always changing. Right. And I think similarly now, moving a lot and having to adapt to new spaces, I've definitely went like all in since the pandemic started with I love how you said that, curating spaces. But just like creating little corners. I think, you know, it's really amazing to me how when I walk into my office, even if it's messy, it just feels like a sanctuary. It's like all these lovely things that remind me of what I want to do and that I love planning and journaling and that I love nature. And they remind me to kind of come back to myself. And I think that's really refreshing. And I think it's also this like wonderful permission to love the outward expression of who you are, you know, because we can spend so much time in our heads. And I think, you know, somebody lovingly called me a maximalist one time. And I liked how she said that, because like, I think I always wanted to be a minimalist, and I've lived in tiny spaces. I've lived in a 200 square foot studio. I've lived in a 400 square foot studio when I was a lot younger. And I've had a lot fewer things, but I feel like this is just a chapter in my life where I'm embracing some of those things. And it's really fun.
That is so lovely. There was another word that I had, but it's gone. We're going to let it come back if it does. So we'll go with lovely. So I was having this like vision too, while you were sharing about nesting, arriving, really allowing yourself to orient to which place and time feels really supportive to you, and knowing the work that you do with helping people with mindful productivity. I'm curious about the types of practices that you do, whether that's daily or weekly, you know, that allow you to feel like you're arriving into your work, arriving into your rest time, arriving into your playtime. You know, like, what are some of those practices, if you feel comfortable sharing them, that help you feel like that maximalist part of you gets to go with you through those different phases and stages of life?
Ooh, you're like the best host. You have the best questions. I'm like, well, no one's ever asked me this before. I think, you know, one thing is that I have to feel comfortable in my body. And so, you know, coming into my office, having a hot cup of coffee and really like drinking it mindfully and like feeling the warmth of it and seeing like the steam rise up from the cup. And then like, I have this beautiful window here in my office. So I'll always open up the curtains in the morning and really celebrate whatever the day is showcasing. And I'm one of those people, I love all kinds of weather. So like, if you go out to the store and it's raining and everyone's like, oh, it's so nasty out, I'm like, oh, I think it's beautiful today. Like, it's just, I love the rain. I love all the different, you know, personalities that the earth shows us, if you will. And so I open the window and I kind of like celebrate whatever the day is. And then for me, being able to arrive into like my best mental state or my most focused flow or whatever you want to call it, you know, some of that is those things I mentioned. And then other parts of that are, for me, like using Notion and creating this like really beautiful aesthetic daily dashboard that helps me kind of know like what I'm doing and shows me those things, right? So it like points me in the direction that my brain needs to go. Because one thing that also is a struggle when you're surrounded by things you love is like, ooh, a planner, ooh, a journal, I could go do this and I could go do that. So having a place that kind of helps me capture those things. And another thing too is brain dumps. So doing a brain dump every morning, if possible, to just really declutter my mind and also hold space for all these like ideas and thoughts that my mind has. Because I think sometimes we don't celebrate that. We get so frustrated with ourselves that we have like all these like thoughts and stuff, but having time to get those out on paper and share them with yourself, and then you can kind of release them or come back to them later. There's no FOMO of them escaping from your reality. So those are some of the things I like to do.
Yay. Oh, I love that. And you're sharing out about how weather's personalities reminded me of the thought that I had earlier. And it wasn't one word when I was like, oh, I'll just say lovely. It was a whole thought. That's why I wasn't going back. So I want to like, it's a jump, but it's like really connected in my brain. I want to go there for a second. So with that idea of weather being personalities, what I was thinking of when you were sharing about Squishmallows and like your experience with moving a lot and like having this sense of home that can go with you was this thought. So for anyone who has not watched Schitt's Creek, please give it a try. If you think the first episode's too slow, just skip to episode 3. But anyways, of like Moira Rose, are you familiar with the show?
It's so funny you say that, because I've watched the first episode and that was my exact thought. I was like, oh, is it always this slow? So I'm going to keep going. I'll keep going with it.
That's so funny. I just had this conversation with a friend 2 days ago. Just start at 3, because 1 and 2 is when they're just like setting it up, and then the characters didn't really
have room for their quirks to be what was shown. So that being said, you might have seen the memes or the GIFs where Moira is the mother in the show and she has like dozens of wigs. And I wouldn't say any of the wigs are necessarily ones where the average person would be like, I want that on my head, right? And so when you're sharing like weather and personalities, it reminded me of, I was thinking of when you were sharing of like, what would my equivalent of squishmallows or planners, like things that help me feel like I'm both in home and expressing myself. And it would be if I had Moira's wig collection, because I'm the person where I always am impulsively wanting to cut my hair or change it. But then like, it's just like the good thing about parenthood now is like, I just don't have the time or resources. So like I can avoid that impulse, so to speak, but that like energy of expressing was coming through. So I'm just glad that you shared that, because then the way you shared it about weather offering us different personalities helped me think of something that's really fundamental in my work, that about what I call the control to connection pivot. And so I was realizing in myself, I'm definitely someone who is not as friendly to all the weathers. And I was like, oh, that's because I'm holding on to the sense of control of, why can't you be warm and sunny? Why can't you be a certain type of rain on a certain type of day? Why can't you be the beautiful snow that I only have to look at, I don't have to go out in, you know? And so that was helpful for me to also realize that how I can practice life being more livable is in those moments where I wish I could control the weather, I'm able to connect with what personality the weather's offering me and get really curious about how the out, like external landscape that I'm seeing, what does that afford me the opportunity to connect with inside? So, oh, it's a dreary, gloomy day in Pittsburgh. Cool. What feels like dreamy and gleary? Was that the right word? Gloomy, dreary, whatever those words are, inside of myself, right? So I really, and to me, that would help me access my mindful productivity space of saying like, oh, I have been feeling these types of ways and I needed the weather, so to speak, to mirror that for me. So that way I could decide what Moira wig am I putting on today to feel like I can be in a space of both being and doing.
I love that. I think too, I like to think of the weather, and I think you kind of said this, as like an invitation. And that's kind of what I got from what you just shared out too, is like, you know, when it is gloomy outside, I think a lot of us feel like, oh, I'll make some tea or I'll read a book or it's okay to binge watch some Netflix today. And then like anytime it's sunny, like it's getting super sunny today already. And I think it's going to be a little touch warmer. So I'm like, oh, that could be a really fun opportunity to take my bulldog Bella to the park and bring a couple of journals and like put out a little thing on a picnic table and maybe do a little planning outside. And I think that also invites in like different forms of creativity. Because our brain, I know for me, like whenever I'm out in nature, I feel both connected to myself and to like the world, but also this lovely disconnect from like the chaotic noise, like the things we can't control that can oftentimes feel so all consuming. So I think there's all those different invitations there.
That was so great. I'm glad you brought up your picnics, because that was when I asked earlier about some of your practices, help you feel like a sense of arrival in yourself. That was one of the ones that I was visualizing too. So Sarah shares these really beautiful pictures of, like she said, a blanket laid out, her journal spread. And it, to me, is one of those, if we had to capture maximalism in one image, it's like, yes, you carry multiple things to one place, where some people might say, oh, well, that's too much effort. But it looks like then you're in a space again that's curated and gives you that different invitation, that different access. And so that feels really reflective of the spaces that you share for your clients and those you serve as well. You know, it's one thing that Sarah does fabulously in her courses, of which I'm a groupie, is provide a type of resource and like an intentional organizational like layout and like a volume of things. So it is almost like having like a charcuterie board out, right? Just like you have the whole spread. You can decide, oh, I want some olives, I want some nuts, I want some cheese. You know, like you have a lot of space to play and to explore. And at the same time, you're not sitting there wishing like, oh, I could have brought this other thing. So I would love if you could sort of share about your like evolution within your business in terms of feeling like it's enough to have what you have. And then also knowing now at the point of being in your courses and seeing that you offer so much intentionality. And so how is there that, or is there that rather, that balance between feeling like you have to provide all the things and also knowing like what is the meaningful parts that you really want to share with someone?
Yeah, I think, well, this is kind of similar to like when I create focus projects in my business, right? Or you work on anything specifically, you're creating a scope of your focus. Like, what is the outcome? What am I going to be working on? And so I like to do something similar with curriculum development, you know, like what is the scope of the outcome or the course that I'm creating for a student? And what does that container look like? And that also gives me kind of a boundary, because then I go, okay, well, this is the container and this is what the overall goal for students are. And if that's the case, then some of these other things like need not apply. Like they may be fun ideas, but the value of the course is truly in the journey and the transformation that I'm leading them through. So that, for one, helps me make something that's more focused and streamlined, because I think it can be really easy to want to create all the things for students, but then it kind of feels like students are walking out into a giant field and it's like, well, where do we go? Right? Like, right. There's something over there. And if you walk 3 miles east, there's something over there. Right. Versus having like a very clear and solid kind of like yellow brick road, right, for your course and leading people on the way. And what's cool is, I think we forget sometimes of the like the endless abundance of content and ideas that come when you focus on something, because a lot of times I think, and this could apply to like niching down in your business or whatever, but I think a lot of times we think that, I'm trying to describe this, like we think of this like outward external flow of creativity, and we think that if we focus on one thing that we'll run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. But as you know, like in Publish with Purpose, like there's just endless stuff to talk about with planners, right? And like, and how to do it and how to be creative and how to create covers and ways, like just different interior pages. And so within a course or whatever you're creating, whatever experience you're creating for your students or your clients, I think the more you focus, that doesn't have to be a limitation on your creativity or what you provide for students. In fact, I think it can provide a clearer path. And then there can be, you know, like food trucks along that yellow brick road that like mm-hmm. help kind of facilitate or make the journey even that much more fun.
Taco tapas. Okay. Yeah. No, I love it. So, I mean, that's a tangent, but I have two thoughts. One is a play thought, and one was like, ooh, and do I remember them now? See, I'm just being myself. I do that. I get so excited about setting up the scene, and then I'm like, what was the scene? So the tangent one was, I saw this image of almost like a Where's Waldo, but it was all of like Squishmallows, and then we have to find Sarah's space. So just invitation, next time you're like, I really just need immersed in my Squishmallows to like have that moment and see if like Bella finds you or if your husband finds you. You
know? That's so funny.
I saw that imagery. The other thing that that came through too, that I am in endless awe of, that you do, that sentence. It's one thing that I find I'm endlessly in awe of when you do it, is your ability to repurpose content in terms of like sticking to, like, again, having that one focus and it feeling like there's still fresher energy being revitalized in it. It doesn't feel stale or stuffy. And as a business owner myself, that's something that I struggle with often, is remembering that I, one, have something to share, that it can be part of a larger thing I'm continuing to share, that it doesn't have to be this like cataclysmic earth shattering thing, you know? And so I'm just curious about, are there other things in your like sort of non-business life that you intentionally revisit, whether that's favorite shows or engagement, like anything like that, that is that helps you remember that or have that sort of muscle memory of like, it is totally valid and actually super helpful for yourself to allow yourself to focus on certain things, to share out continuously, to revisit, and sort of like, it's almost like building that like cozy relationship with something and like how that translates into doing so in your business.
I think you touched on how we give so much value to novelty or like something that's new. But we forget that it's so lovely to come back to like your favorite book or your favorite comfort movie or show, especially in different chapters of your life. Like, for example, one of my favorite movies when I was a teenager was She's All That, the classic 90s movie. And for any of you that don't remember it, right? She And they're like Rockefeller Shank and all that kind of stuff, right? And how this like already gorgeous girl who's apparently a nerd, like, you know, gets transformed and dates the dream guy and all that stuff. And I remember being like, oh, I love this movie. And then my husband and I rewatched it a couple years back and we like did not have the same reaction at all. We were like, this is kind of bad.
I had that with Miss Congeniality. It was while I was pregnant. So I'd say within the past year, though, I suddenly was like, I want to watch Miss Congeniality, which was that and Sister Act were my absolute favorite movies as a child. And I'm watching, like, okay, there's sexism, there's racism, there's patriarchy, right? There's capitalism. And seeing all these things, I'm like, and I was worshiping this movie as like, that'll be my glow up moment, right? I'm going to end up having that purple dress moment where Sandra Bullock's walking out of the hangar. And yes, I'll trip and fall, but I'm going to look banging as fuck in this purple dress. Like, that was my idea of what adulthood had to be like. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I could totally relate to that. Like,
yeah.
Okay, like, what room is there for nostalgia and also like,
right,
questioning the importance of it.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting about stuff like that is we forget, though, that there's a lot of things in our lives. Like, I have like a whole little I have a Notion database that has like different articles I really love, and sometimes I'll attach like a date to come back to them so I'm reminded of it. Like, there's certain articles I've read before on like Thought Catalog or something that just like, I don't know, just blew my mind. Like, they weren't necessarily a new idea, but like there was this one about like simplicity and just like going for a simple life versus all this extravagance. And it really resonated with me. And I was like, oh yeah, like less is more, like, you know what I mean? But, like, so like just coming back to those things and realizing that they will completely hit you differently depending on your mindset or, you know, the season of your life or the year that you're in. So I love to come back to those things. Cause I think sometimes we think if we've seen it before, if we've read it or done it before, that it's not worth doing again. And I think experiences are worth reliving, you know? And I think there's a difference between trying to recreate something exactly as it was versus just being open to the new experience. And so in the same vein, when it comes to creating content from like a business owner perspective, realizing that every time you teach something or create something, there's going to be a different nuance to it, a different energy. You're going to be in front of a slightly different audience or someone that's never heard you before. And there's going to be new things that you talk about. You know, I remember in college, there was this professor that gave this, you know, specific lecture like every single quarter of the school year for every single set of cohort of students that went through. And I remember one time she said, you know, I've given this lecture literally like 300 times at this point, and there's always something new. Like, I'm always learning something new about it. So I think in that act and practice of continuing to talk about things, it's that same thing, right? We just go inward and there's like more and more.
Yeah. And I love that too. And that really feels like a very intentional, energetically intentional, even if it's not like cognitively intentional, way of pushing back against whiteness and systems of oppression, where it's like whiteness really, especially as two white women, like, we have learned in our own different ways to not ask questions, don't question things. You know, like, some things don't get mentioned, you know, like, oh, what's the easiest way to people please? Like, how do we behave the best way so people don't notice us? So really this practice of revisiting and allow, like you articulated it so meaningfully for me to feel that, like, you know, I was like trying to not be in the microphone, like SMR. I don't know the letters.
Oh yeah.
You know,
like, ASMR.
Yeah. Where, you know, like where you were saying, it's just like, can we revisit without the control of trying to relive it? Like that part of it too, where it's like that perfectionist energy, that whiteness as a system and a structure really wants people to uphold, you know, and which can make life really unwell for a lot of us. You know, like thinking it has to go certain ways, that feels really permissive, like permission giving, and like even my posture, like my shoulders want to like, you know, relax. Thinking about like that approach as a business owner of how can I just reconnect with something? You know, what part of it wants to revisit with what part of me? What questions do I want to ask of myself that I wasn't, you know, aware of or had the skill sets to contemplate the first time I looked at this? Or, you know, what ways was I trying to put things in my own word and not sharing a primary source and thinking that I had something better to say about things? So I really, while that's not like overtly what you were sharing, like I feel this really beautiful connection. And also knowing that you are one of the business owners that I see as a white woman who does have a like missions and vision and values, so to speak, statement, and, you know, make it very clear that you're here to do your work to be less problematic. So I just wanted to like take that time to reflect that back to like, oh, I can also see that undercurrent of energy in that practice you were sharing of like revisiting things and allowing there to be a new experience. And then since we're on that sort of part of the conversation, I'm curious about how you navigate the things that you just feel and believe are like non-negotiable, meaning like your values or things that like are your boundaries, whatever it is. Do you ever feel there's a different level of ease in sort of upholding those boundaries in business versus your non-business part of your life? Like, does the positioning of sort of your role in a space and time offer those different challenges of navigating that?
Yeah. I think it just feels, I mean, and this is just a benefit of it that wasn't intentional, but it just feels better to be honest with who you are and what you stand for and to really not have like it's kind of all or nothing, you know? And I know, you know, any business owner that, you know, makes statements, you know, you sometimes get pushback or you sometimes get nasty emails or you sometimes, I think I got like a 1-star review recently or something from someone. And it's like, you know, okay. Like if that's the worst thing that happens to me, especially as a white woman, like if that's the worst thing that happens, you know, we should all be accountable to that for standing up for what we believe in. And I think as a business owner, it's not as nuanced as personal life because you're running a business and basically you're creating a boundary and you're saying like, I don't want, you know, to work with certain people that, you know, are racist or that don't believe in these same core values that I think all humans have a right to. And that somehow feels easier than sometimes navigating these, you know, more personal relationships. And I think that's where really a lot of this work comes into play is navigating stuff, you know, with family and knowing that, you know, there's some people that it's not cut and dry, or it's not as easy to cut people out of your life or without affecting other people that you love, and it becomes nuanced. And so there, you know, there's opportunities for conversations and more boundary setting there. I think it's complicated. I think everybody can relate to that. I don't know if that kind of answers your question.
Oh yeah. No. And I know that was on the list of things Sarah probably thought was going to come up, probably not what it was.
No, it's great though. So, it's
thank you for sitting. Yeah. In that space too. And you did address the part too of just like, there is that different sense of flow or ease that can happen in those spaces. And I think that is something that could probably keep a lot of business owners in almost like a stalemate, so to speak, right? They know that there might be this more nuanced, difficult ways that they're having to navigate things in their personal life. So they may not feel like they have the skill set to establish boundaries in their business life, right? Or to say like, oh, this is something that's non-negotiable because they haven't been able to experience that there can be a different like practice, so to speak. So I think that that's just helpful to address too. So perhaps anyone listening here, you know, has had that moment where they're like, I haven't even taken a first step to try something that I want to try regardless of what it is, because in a different setting, a different place and time, my mind sees that there's evidence that it won't work out a way that's favorable. Right. And so if we're thinking about mindful productivity, and, you know, you mentioned brain dumps earlier, brain dumps for me sometimes can offer this ability for me to like, I'll ask myself, and this is a recent practice, like 2 months, this is not, so I'm new to it. But, you know, asking myself questions like, what evidence feels like it's shouting the loudest, you know, like what thing feels like a fact that is stopping me from doing something, you know, and often it's actually the stories associated with the event or whatever it is, not the actual interaction itself. And so like, I'm really feeling that the transferability of the skills that you teach, whether that's, you know, your focus projects or whether that is brain dumps, you know, that mindful productivity, while someone might approach it from a saying, oh, I'm going to use this as a business owner, it's something that actually equips you with a way to, again, I keep thinking of what you're saying about the weather, like get your inner landscape, like outside of you, right? Excuse me. So that just feels like really, yeah, your impact is something that like the ripples get to be in all these cool, like you have some ocean ripples, you have some lake ripple, you know, like there's all these different, you know, places that it goes. So I just wanted to like share that with you because that feels really, really nice.
I really like that. And I think too, you know, when it comes to, I guess, just mindful productivity, or, you know, figuring out what works for you, it's like the conversation, like if I could put a theme to like what we're kind of working through today, it's really holding space for yourself and all the, like the nuanced areas of what it means to be human. And I think that comes back to what you talk about when you say making life more livable. And actually, like, every time I listen to your podcast, I always love your intro. And I always think about that. I always am like, ooh, what does it mean to make life more livable? Like, how do I, like, cause in a lot of ways, when I think about that, I think about, how do I remove like self barriers or obstacles that I'm kind of creating? And I think in a lot of ways, I think some, you know, more regimented blanket type productivity statements can kind of create those boundaries for us, especially if, you know, you're neurodivergent or you have a different way of thinking about things, or, you know, some of the mainstream things just don't necessarily apply to you. Or you feel like, oh, that doesn't work for me. Why? What's wrong with me? And it's not that there's anything wrong with any of us. It's that there's just a lot of, you know, again, more like capitalistic white individual thinking in terms of this is how you have to do things and get things done. Where I think there's some overlap with both mindful productivity and your idea of making life more livable is, how do you remove those boundaries? How do you build a foundation where things are more accessible to yourself?
Yeah, because it is both that energy of, like, I'm seeing the visual of gardening, you know, like it's both, you have to like sort of tend or clear your space, right? I know nothing about gardening, but I've seen people do it, you know, like, you know, there's that decision of like, okay, well, what am I going to be nurturing here? Like what environment needs to happen? What soil is there? You know? So it's like, you're both curating that space. And then as it's flourishing, like going back in and doing the sort of caregiving. And so it's feeling too, like what you're sharing is like, by being able to utilize mindful productivity as a way to make your life more livable, it's both that curation of practices and checking in, how does that feel? What did this offer me? You know, like, what invitation is the weather giving me today? And then also throughout the day, having those skill sets to be able to, again, tend to, it's like that nurturing, that caregiving where it's like, yeah, this morning I did, you know, I know you use the Pomodoro method, you know, it's like, oh, I did, you know, like 3 rounds of that and I was feeling great. And then, you know, my cat threw up and I stepped in it and my whole day went to shit, you know, like those things. So it's like, recheck, what's actually my need right now? Right. And so like, whereas, as you were saying, those very like sort of militant dogmatic forms of productivity where it's like, keep persevering, never quit, do it all. Like, is your whole checklist done today? If not, you suck. Like, I mean, that's kind of a long saying, but like, whatever that is. Yeah, it doesn't leave room for life to actually be like experienced and related with. So I definitely get curious about how any of us who have a sort of a more modality or practices or skill sets that we use, what are ways that we can also be like observing ourselves in like a gentle way of just noticing like, oh, where am I on this sort of seesaw? Right. Cause I'm sure we all have moments where it's like, we're so flowy, almost too flowy, where we're like, what is even happening? And then also like, oh, I'm feeling really rigid. And so, yeah, I'm just seeing this visual of like,
it reminds me so much of when you talk about yes. And mm-hmm. right. Like, yes, I can be feeling this way. And I can also need to run a business and make money and, you know, like there is,
right. Yeah. Well, and that is like such a, the word cute when it come up, but like, that's not the right word. It's like a concise, it was like your response was just like literally two words where I'm like, thing in my head, I'm like, there's this like whole ballad worth of thoughts that I could have. And you're like, yes. And I'm like, see, again, it's like my mind wanted to make things complicated. And like, so that feels like my personal seesaw is like one side is like overcomplicating the shit out of things. And the other side is like two words, yes. And so like, that was like, I couldn't have planned that sort of setup better if I tried, you know, for me to have that reminder too, of like, what is my personal seesaw? Cause sometimes I share things out of this curiosity for others when, again, it's like that weather invited, like what within me is reflected in this weather. So like that question was really for me to be like, draw your own seesaw, Lori, like it, you know, see where you are teetering. How does that feel? Do you feel like you're about to fall off? Are you surfing and you're okay? You know? My brain now's on a seesaw.
No, it's good. I know. I think it's really interesting. And I think too, maybe it might be helpful to also talk about like what mindful productivity actually is. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, like, yeah. Well, cause I was thinking about it. I was like, ooh, people might not know. Like, so the way I define mindful productivity is intention and awareness of your current energy state so that you can sustainably get things done. So it's not just about, you know, what do I want to accomplish and how am I going to do it? But how am I going to do it given the state of the world, given my current, you know, things that I've planned to do or commitments rather, and then also my capacity, because there are things that I do repetitively in my business. Like I have focus projects that are kind of ongoing. Like this is what you do every week in your business. This is what you do every quarter. But depending on, you know, where I am with my, let's see, like my cycle or, you know, what's going on with my family, some of those things may be more difficult or challenging other months than others, depending on when I do them. So it's one thing to know like all your standard operating procedures, right? It's another thing to have awareness of your energy and your mental capacity and how that all plays in together. Cause it's, I don't know, it's just a little more complicated than just like, just do it.
Yeah, no. And it's like, to not be so like, I hate when I like know the feeling of something, but I can't think of the word, not too like, I'll say mushy, but it's, again, it's not, I have the vocabulary of a 5-year-old today. Shout out to all my 5-year-olds. Woo. You know, it's like this new mindful productivity is this really nuanced applied version of yes. And within the sort of relationship between being and doing, You know, like that's what like your moment of sharing out. And thank you for doing that. I totally like in my mind was excited and skipped over that beginning, but if you made it to this episode, you've heard it. Yay. But if it does feel like that, it's like, how do you apply yes. And within the context of being and doing and mindful productivity is one way that you offer people to explore that dynamic, that nuance, that relationship. And since you are such a really great facilitator of spaces and of meeting people where they are and also giving them a place to grow, I would really super duper love if you would share out about Productivity and Planning Week, which will be happening right after this airs. I'm going to make sure that this is the first or second episode of the next season, so that way you're hearing it in time, people.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for the invitation to share about it. It's going to happen, yeah, in March 14th. And you're going to be a part of it, which I'm super excited about. And you'll have your training, which I love. I've watched it so many times.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
So helpful. And I'm excited about your course you're putting together. But Productivity and Planning Week is all about, I think we have 29 speakers this time. This is the second time we're doing it. And it's all about using mindful productivity strategies and just hearing from a bunch of different creatives and business owners about what it means to be productive and how to stay organized. And what I love is that we have such a diverse group talking about everything from, you know, mindset and self-care to mental health. There's some psychology-based practices. There's some therapists that are a part of it. There's also some business strategists and other productivity people that are just as nerdy about all that as I am. So if you attend this free event and, you know, even if you only watch a handful of the trainings, I feel like you're really going to walk away with so many tangible skills. And one thing I'm really excited about is that we're just making this event as accessible as we can. So people have a full 6 days of on-demand access to it. I know I love attending summits, but sometimes I feel super overwhelmed when there's only like 3 hours each day to watch 5 trainings, you know, without upgrading to the $200, you know, and it's like, so I wanted to make it more accessible. So all the trainings are under 30 minutes and there's transcripts and closed captioning for everything. So it just makes it a lot easier for people to learn in a way that works best for their brain. And I'm excited because we're going to have a community around it, a Facebook group and some comments on the site too. So I just hope that everybody joins. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And coming back to repurposing too, I don't know, I'll have to talk to speakers, but this may be something, you know, we repurpose into something else in the future too. So, cause it's just so, so fun to hear so many perspectives and there's a lot of overlap too, you know, a lot of overlap with a lot of people that are in a similar niche. And I know when I invite speakers, sometimes they're like, well, am I the only person talking about this? And I'm like, no. And people are always surprised when the other speakers have like a totally different take on sometimes like the same subject matter. So I think it's just fun. It's just fun to do things differently. And I can't wait. I am doing my best to get everything done ahead of time this round so that when the week actually happens, I can pretend I'm a participant and go through all the trainings too, because I'm excited to learn from all of the speakers. It's going to be fun.
For those who can't see, which is probably everyone because this is a podcast, Sarah is like beaming. Like the sun is not outside. It is now coming from within her office. I just wanted to set the stage for you. Her Squishmallows had put sunglasses on. It is so bright. Well, and like, I'm so glad you brought up again the idea of like repurposing, because the great thing that Sarah offered too is for speakers who wanted to participate again, we could resubmit the same training. And so that was something where I was so grateful for the opportunity, you know, being a new parent, where I was like, I don't know if I would have the time to honor your timeline and not make your work harder, but I still love participating in what you offer people. And so that was helpful for me now, again, the idea of like creating my own seesaw, like letting it be easier, right? And also, like you said, there'll be a different audience this time. And I've actually took the opportunity for myself to rewatch it the other day. It's something that I'm working through, is like re-listening to my own podcast, like hearing my voice, hearing what I say. Like there's this fear of like, cringe, what would I say? And so I'm excited, like you said, to go in, and I am going to be a participant, but like specifically to also watch my training again as a participant. And so you model really beautifully the things that you speak about. And that's something that I think is really, I'm sure it's a skill that you cultivate in practice, but it also feels very intuitive for you, you know? And so I just want to appreciate the way that you model that ability to like, let yourself get excited and geek out about things and like, you know, make your Squishmallows wear sunglasses, you know, like all those things, you know, cause it's so nice to be in community with someone who, you know, like there's that like really old, outdated, probably really problematic statement of like, don't talk the talk if you're not going to walk the walk, like whatever that energy though of like say something and then also practice it. And so that's always one thing that I enjoy so immensely about being in space with you is, you know, you're out there, yes, and in your best.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel the same way about you. And I think too, yeah, it's like, what's interesting, right? Because I think, again, it comes back to, and I think like, this is just that, and I think a lot of us are challenging it, that just that rooted capitalism within all of us of like, well, it has to be brand new. If it's going to be valuable, yeah. It better be brand new. It better be more work, more labor, right? And it's like, yeah, but even if, you know, like everyone is this, like, let's say like all the exact same people sign up for the week all over again, what a lovely invitation again to go through your training again and, you know, and get something else out of it and get something new out of it. And I mean, it's the same thing is true. Like there's different podcast episodes I'll re-listen to. There's course materials I'll go back through from different courses I've bought. So yeah, it's really lovely. And there's always like a new spin that you get on something when you revisit it.
Yeah. That is so great. And you also just remind me, and for me, this is like a full circle moment to the beginning of our chat today, where I was asking like, what practices help you feel like you're in your body, that sense of return or belonging or arriving. Right. And something that I do is there's certain like sort of audio based courses or like services that I purchased, you know, like about like energetic readings or something about me. And I often revisit that and I'll think of like, I'll be thinking about that person who it was, and I'll know, oh, okay, that means I need to re-listen to it. And it's the way that I allow those within my sort of sphere community to reflect to me things that I may not be remembering about myself or that I may be overthinking. And so that is one of my practices of allowing someone else to help me have gentler, kinder thoughts about myself, or to be like, oh, having a business doesn't have to be so hard. Someone reminded me that this is something I express well, you know? And so that feels like the really nice sort of like cozy, snuggy blanket of like, oh yeah. You know, like that I often forget some of the practices that I have, until I'm doing it and like, oh, this could be a practice. So I really, yeah, appreciate that you're offering like that moment and within this exchange.
You just made me think of this visual of, like creating like a revisiting list like something that you have that you, maybe it's seasonal or something, like you come back to, kind of like, you know how we create like bucket lists for like fall, like, I want to go to a pumpkin patch and I would just like having almost like a revisit
list. Yes. And what's so funny is I was going to share and then I was like, maybe not during the podcast, I'll do it later, but then I'll forget. So I will do it right now, that I had this idea too of like, and of course good yes or no or whatever, but it's like the way that you approach revisiting and repurposing and sort of like re-energizing and sharing out, that I think could be such a transformative skill set. And so like, whether that's a revisit planner or a like mini course of like, how do you revisit and reconceptualize and re-relate with things, you know, like just whatever. I just want to show that because that feels like, I keep seeing this image of like a door opening, but like, it's the door to like a junk room where there's like cobweb, like there's all the stuff built up and you're like, actually you can just like open the door and it clears a little path, like enough to just get in the room. Right. So it feels like it's like, it could help a lot of people, including myself, obviously, you know, cause I'm sure if I have the idea, it's about me, you know? But you know, like what's the first step? How do you like get in that muscle flexing of like knowing a first step can be taken? So yeah, now my mind's like all excited, geeked out. It's like, oh, what would that be like? But obviously no pressure.
Well, I was thinking the same thing for you, just having like, you know, like I know you're thinking about creating like an improvising planner, but having all these tools, like all the different modalities and ways of thinking about yes and yeah, I'm just excited because there's so many possibilities and it just shows you like the power of like checklists or just lists in general, and how they can help kind of stimulate that reminder, or it's like the weather, right? It's like a little invitation. Yeah.
Come back. Well, yeah. And one thing that you've really helped me transform, and I don't think I've allowed enough space for my thoughts to get the sort of image close enough for me to see it. But now that's coming through is like, I used to, because of like a lot of things growing up, you know, like without having the trauma bond, just like a lot of things, I would push back towards any kind of structure or authority. Cause I was like, no, it means it has to be controlling. And so I wouldn't allow myself to be supported with things like lists or checklists or courses or rubrics or anything, because it just felt like it was a tight jacket or what a straight jacket, whatever, you know, it just felt too binding. But so then I would be lost in sort of like my cosmic soup is what I call it, like in my brain. Right. And so I imagine there's a slurry of random shit and my head's a colander and sometimes the right shape goes out of the right shape hole, you know, and like I can access things sometimes, but often it's just so much like slurring around in there. And what I experience when I revisit your work, your course, and just are in space with you is this reminder that it is okay to allow a structure or a support to be there. I've been much better at allowing like in human interactions, like a verbal support like that, but actually allowing there to be a structure, a foundation that does not take anyone else's energy, like planners, papers, like something that physically is there that I can return to. And one of the ways that I notice that I self-sabotage is by not revisiting, by not remembering, you know, like having I know you use Notion a lot, like a place that remind me of like, sort of like a table of contents, like what have I already thought of? What exists somewhere? So I don't have to recreate that mental work. And so I'm, you know, going to be parting this time together today and really with that reflection over the weekend of what would actually allowing myself to be supported feel and look like in this season in life, you know, like how could that be something? And how can I set up those structures in a way where it feels like a no-brainer to revisit. Hi, Bella. You know, to feel, you know, to feel like I get so excited to have that place and space to return to. Because that feels like it's your blanket on a picnic table with planners out on there and not like sitting in the corner facing a wall with a stray jacket on and having a itch on my back and being like, that'd be nice to get it.
You know? Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes too, it's like, it's almost kind of like how you have different rooms in your house, right? We don't try to like cook a meal in the living room. We have a kitchen. We have space for that. We have all the tools there that we need for that. And then, you know, like I couldn't tell you right now, everything I touch when I go to make mashed potatoes, but when I'm in the kitchen, suddenly I remember everything, right? Cause it's all in front of me. And so, like you said, it's having reminders and tools, but then also just placing things to use when you need them, where you need them, so that there isn't this extra mental energy going into, you know, what do I need? Like if we kept everything that we ever needed throughout the day, all in the same closet.
Yeah, it's got the visual of dodgeball, like a gym class where all the balls are in the middle and everyone's scrambling.
Yeah. Right. Or something, or like, you know, like that giant junk closet or junk drawer where it's like, there's tons of, and you're always, or for me, it's my purse where I've had to transition to a smaller purse. Cause I'm always like rummaging for my keys. And it's like, or how can you create something where it's just easier to access everything? Right. Just like you said, like 360 or whatever, like coming back to make life more livable, right?
Yeah. It's like, why is my passport in the blender? No.
Right. Yeah. But same thing.
Yeah. No, this is feeling like so much fun. And I sort of the last thing that I'll touch on, hopefully this is the only time I say the last thing, but again, this like the idea of making it simpler. And so like another thing that you've bestowed upon me that I'm really grateful for right now is the ways that, like earlier I was mentioning evidence, right? Where my mind's like, oh, I have evidence of why this won't work, so I won't try. But I'm reminding myself now that I have new evidence as a parent that I do have the ability of putting things intentionally. So I have a diaper caddy on each floor. I have Mercury has eczema that we're managing, so she has, I've created two of everything. So that way every diaper change, she's getting moisturized. I have been able to do that as a service in my mind is like for someone else. Why can't I also do that practice for me? And so that's something that I'm going to have some fun with. And that feels again, like that point I was sharing earlier about intentionally curating a structure or support that I want to revisit. So like, that feels like, we're apparently like juggling a bunch of like cool full circles here, I have this evidence applied in a different setting. How can I yes and that and make my own life more livable by applying that in the areas where I'm feeling the most overwhelmed, the least amount of ease, and, the, what I call like overload, the literally can't even moments, like that I do have a place to start.
I love that. Sarah. Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was such a lovely conversation.
Well, I also realized we got excited and went to like every other place. Can you share just a bit more about how people can access productivity?
That might be helpful.
Yeah. I'll include it in the notes on the, but that way in case people are more auditory.
Yeah. If anyone wants to sign up, you can go to productivityweek.com and find everything there. So
super simple. Where else can they access you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs. Yeah. I hang out on the Mindful Productivity podcast. You can listen anywhere to that. And you can also visit my website, which is mindfulproductivityblog.com. And I'm also on Instagram, same handle. So that's kind of my jam where I like to hang out these days.
Yay.
Awesome.
Oh, well, thank you so much for spending time with us today, Sarah. I'm going to embrace it, the queen of not knowing how to end things. So I like to ask people really awkward things, not personal, but like to do awkward things.
Oh, bring it on. Yeah, I'm ready.
So the usual one that I go to, I feel like would be too niche, like too in your alley, right? Because you probably might have done it. So I'll ask you a different one and then tell you what the other one was. So if you were your own teapot and had to make your own noise when the water was ready, what noise would you want it to make?
This is so because
you love tea. So
yeah. Okay. So I'm a teapot and the water is ready. I think it would be something like blop, 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 blop.
Great. The usual one is like, what animal noise do you want to like end with? But since you have animals, I was like, you probably have made random animal noises. So thank you for humoring me with your tea blop.
Yeah. I'll go patent that now, right?
Yes, exactly. You heard it here first. Right. Well, yeah, so I am going to share with you this open, boundless permission slip and your next moment of overwhelm to blah, 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 blah yourself. So you're allowing that pressure of your inner tea kettle somewhere to go, right? You don't got a bottle in. I hope you're able to blah, 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 blah your way to a more easeful day.
I love it.